Your Excellencies, Heads of State and Government, Your Excellency, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, Your Excellency, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, Chairperson of the African Union Commission, Honorable Ministers, representatives of regional and international organizations, representatives of private sector institutions, distinguished delegates, and invited guests, ladies and gentlemen, comrades and friends. I take the floor after the representative of Palestine has made a speech, wailing speech, crying speech, a repeat of what has happened before. It happened last year, it happened the year before, it happened in 1963. The voice of Palestinians being expressed here, the cry of the Palestinians reaching our ears here. For how long are we going to listen to the leader of the PLO? When shall we ever listen to the President of the State of Palestine? When shall that ever come, Mr. Ban Ki-moon? You are leaving us before the settlement of the people of Palestine. They are not settled yet. They are in a state which belongs, I don't know to whom, not free. Some other people building homes in what is supposed to be their state. Almost every day, someone is killed or disturbed or arrested. When shall this ever cease? All of us here are born out of the struggle for our elders. We were all once upon a time in colonies, all of us. I was just trying to turn over in my mind who of you, of us, came straight from an independent state to Addis Ababa. None. We were once, if not slaves, but servants of colonialists, servants of imperialists, colonized people, disadvantaged people. Today, yes, we may say, we are free, but our ancestors were not free. There are blacks across the Atlantic. There are others who lie deep down the sea. Skeletons have vanished. The oceans have worked on their skeletons. Our forefathers, as they were being dragged going across. And across to a country where they labored, toiled, and died for. They are no better. There is Obama today, yes. What is he? What is he? A voice is made to speak their language, to act their act. And not our act, but their act. They are still superiors. The blacks go to Harlem when you're in New York, you'll shed tears. Today, there is no education for all, no health for all. Blacks in the streets. And nobody seems to talk about it. But they instead still want to talk about us. They are everywhere in Africa, if not physically, but through NGOs, through through spies, through pretenders who come to us and say they are here in Africa to assist us. Even in groups, armed groups, on some of our territories. What help is coming from them? Regime change. We are supposed to be free and independent, Mr. Ban Ki-moon. Supposed to be free, the 54 countries. We come to the United Nations, it's ceremonial. Every year, September, we are there. We pay lots of money to go there. And to the General Assembly, we make speeches. We go back home year in, year out. But the bosses in the Security Council say, you shall never have the powers that we have as permanent members. And we have asked and asked and asked. And asked and asked. Reform. Reform the Security Council. I want to tell you, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, you are a good man. You are a good man. But of course, we can't make you a fighter. That's not what your mission was. We will fight a fight for our own identity, for our own integrity and personality as Africans. We are Africans. If we decide, as we shall certainly do so one of these days, that down within the United Nations, we are not members of it. Others are real members of it. We are artificial members of it. And we can't continue to be artificial members of it. How can only a handful of people. In fact, it's only America and the Europeans. Those who say they are white-skinned, because they are white-skinned, anybody else who is not like us shall not have the power and strength, integrity that we have. If the United Nations is to survive, we must be equal members of it. Equal members who can say when we go to the body that we are now speaking truly as members with a voice that's understood, respected, and honored. But no, that's not it. We met in Swaziland some years back to discuss the reform of the United Nations, especially the Security Council. And we came up with KwaZulu-Nini consensus. We have said we want two permanent members with a veto, if the veto is to continue, although we don't like that creature called the veto. But if the veto is to be retained, those members must also have the veto. If the veto is to be abolished, fine. They shall be like others. But no, two members, 54 countries here. This is the body of respected people, the body of Africa. So I wonder whether you have told them that we also are humans. Tell them that we are not ghosts, that we also belong to the world, and the world called, part of the world called Africa, and Africans shall no longer tolerate a position of slavery by any other name, by denial of right, slavery by being treated in a manner we regard as not equal to the manner in which they treat themselves. I hope you will hear from us on this issue of the reform of the United Nations. But you have done a good job for us. You have visited our countries, you have wept with us, where disease has visited us, whether it was Ebola or some other, where calamities have occurred, where fights have taken place, where terrorism also has affected us. We thank you for that concern as a human being. And so that distinguishes you from others. Of course, you don't come from those countries. We know where you come from. Your Excellencies, it is my honor and privilege to express profound gratitude to the government and people of Ethiopia for the traditional warm reception extended to us since our arrival in Addis Ababa. We are very grateful for the excellent facilities placed at our disposal, which should no doubt inspire us to a successful 26th ordinary session of the Assembly of the African Union. Your Excellencies, in line with our aspiration to silence the guns by 2020, matters of peace and security were high on our agenda in 2015, despite new and recurring challenges, our continent witnessed some notable successes, and overall, there was political stability. Notwithstanding the spirited attempts to derail transitional processes by negative elements in Burkina Faso and the Central African Republic, the people of these two brotherly countries remained resolute and committed to constitutionalism. To them we say congratulations and well done. May I also congratulate several AU member states which in 2015 successfully held parliamentary and presidential elections. Once again, we have amply demonstrated that Africa has come of age and that democracy is alive on our continent. The ongoing conflicts in South Sudan, Libya, Burundi, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Somalia, and others remain a source of concern for all, for our organization. Even there, we have of late witnessed some glimpses of hope for peace which deserve our support. While we need to redouble our efforts in search of peace, peaceful solutions to these conflict situations, we at the same time urge our brothers and sisters in the affected member states to put the interests of their countries above all other considerations and give peace a chance. Terrorism has become a major scourge and challenge in many parts of Africa, thus negatively affecting the peace and safety of our people. This evil phenomenon threatens to reverse the gains made in the integration and development of our continent. The challenge for us all is to combine our efforts to fight and defeat terrorism in all its manifestations. Your Excellencies, the creation of the African peace and security architecture amply demonstrated Africa's determination and commitment to ridding the continent of conflict and instability. Central to the AU security architecture is the African Standby Force and its rapid deployment capability. The success of Amani Africa II, field exercises which were held in South Africa in October-November 2015 means that we now can deploy the Africa Standby Force as a tool for conflict prevention. This should be no doubt a big step towards the goal of silencing the guns by 2020. Your Excellencies, the Agenda 2063 and the first 10-year plan mark this giant step towards the Africa we want. But the Agenda 2063 is only a first step. Much more remains to be done for our vision to become a reality. We therefore need to collectively work with a sense of urgency to finalize the funding, follow-up, and monitoring mechanisms so as to enhance the successful implementation of our plan. In this regard, we look forward to the consideration by this Assembly of the Progress Report on the implementation of Agenda 2063, and in particular, the Africa Resource Mobilization Strategy, which has been developed by the Commission. Your Excellencies, in all our endeavors to implement this important roadmap, we should never lose sight of the fact that the Agenda 2063 is a people's agenda. It is owned by and belongs to the people of Africa. The popularization of this blueprint at the continental, regional, and national levels is therefore of paramount importance and a responsibility for us all. Equally important is the task of domesticating the plan, ensuring that its synergization and synchronization with our national and regional plans takes place. I am happy to note that many of our countries working together with the Commission have already taken significant steps in this regard. Your Excellencies, you will recall that our Assembly took a principled decision to progressively meet from our own resources, the bulk of our budget in order to ensure and safeguard the ownership of the African agenda and processes by Africans. To this end, we decided that by the end of the next 5 years, beginning in 2016, we must meet 100% of our operations budget. 75% of our programs budget and 25% of the peace and security budget. The implementation of this important decision would be a clear demonstration of our will and commitment to our organization. The African Union of our organization, the African Union, and will enable Africa to occupy its rightful place in the community of nations. While we acknowledge and are indeed grateful for this assistance received from our partners, this must only complement our own efforts. It is therefore imperative that we prioritize and pay our member state subscriptions timeously. Your Excellencies, in these past months, we have witnessed the plummeting of the prices of primary commodities and the concomitant slowdown in the growth and development of our economies. This has negatively impacted on our capacity to eradicate poverty, create employment, particularly for our youths, as well as improving the livelihoods of our peoples. We therefore must not spare an effort to push for the industrialization of our countries and regions with value addition and beneficiation at the core. The implementation of the African industrialization strategy should be prioritized. Your Excellencies, the past year has also witnessed enhanced cooperation between Africa and its strategic partners. In this regard, the third Africa-India Summit and the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, FOCAC, were successfully convened in India and South Africa, respectively. These partnerships fora serve as important platforms to advance our development agenda and to further strengthen our international strategic partnerships with a view to ensuring mutual benefit and win-win cooperation. Your Excellencies, climate change has become a real threat to our very existence. There are justified worries over the humanitarian impacts of the strongest El Nino on record, which is increasing the threat of hunger and disease in several parts of our continent. Drought and flood conditions threaten the livelihoods of around 30 million people. It is in this context that we welcome the comprehensive climate agreement that was reached in Paris, France. Although Africa did not get everything it wanted, we need to commend the Africa Group and the G20, the G77 and China for very ably representing us throughout the conference under very difficult circumstances. The inclusion in the agreement of the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities and respective capabilities is a positive outcome. Your Excellencies, to improve the way we conduct our business in the African Union, beginning last June, we resolved to begin our summits, as we have done today, in closed session, with an agenda limited to strategic issues of integration, peace and security, governance, and the financing of our union. This should allow us to deal with issues in a more focused and robust manner. We also strongly believe that a well-resourced, appropriately trained and highly motivated commission will help us deliver better and faster. We need to have a commission that is lean, effective, and efficient. As we proceed with a restructuring, we must uphold the cardinal principle of equitable geographical distribution of the commission posts without compromising, of course, on quality. This ensures that the union belongs to all of us. Your Excellencies, with regard to the need to adhere to common African positions, it would be remiss of me not to mention disturbing dissonance among member states on the unresolved decolonization of the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic. Under no circumstances should the unjustifiable colonization of a legitimate and full member of the Union be condoned. Allowing history to be rewritten in order to justify the blatant occupation and colonization of a sister country goes contrary to the decolonization ethos of our founding fathers. Our saying, we are 14, deriving from colonies, But of course, we still have Sahrawi is a debt we owe to the people of Sahrawi. When shall we pay that debt? When shall we decide that the people of Sahrawi become independent? Our charter says the colonial boundaries that we found in 1963 shall be the boundaries we respect. We are all free. Let the people of Sahrawi also be free. With regard to the need to adhere, allowing history to be rewritten in order to justify the blatant occupation and colonization of a sister country, as I said, is what is happening in regard to the Palestinians. And we should also call upon our cooperating partners, especially those with whom we have standing partnerships, to respect our AU, African Union, position on Sahrawi Republic within the context of our partnership frameworks. Similarly, I wish to express my disquiet over the developments leading to the EU summit on migration that was held in Valletta, Malta. Allow me to recall that we had reached an understanding with our friends in Europe. I stammer to say friends, but nevertheless, I managed to pronounce the words. Friends in Europe, that we would have a summit to address the issue of migration, which is of common concern to all of us. Alas, at the last minute, we had only a few of us from Africa would be invited. While I fully appreciate that we are affected differently by migration, there is need for a collective approach for the common good of all of us. Let the common interests of Africa unite us, please. Unite us on this and other global issues as well. For as that song by that group of singers rang, united we stand, divided we fall. So on this one we were divided. Let's not be divided. The principles of unity, solidarity, and freedom bequeathed to us by our forebears from the bedrock of organization. That those principles must continue to be our principles. We wouldn't be here if 1963 had not occurred. And I can tell you, even as we, as freedom fighters then, sought assistance in the South, it was not just in the South. I remember about 1978-79, moving to Guinea-Conakry, to Senegal. Before getting to the OAU, just pleading for assistance humanitarian, if it could be given us, assistance military, or military nation, if we could get it. And we were getting it here and there, those who could give. Algeria, training. Egypt of NASA, lots of training. And as 1963, the inaugural conference took place, the leaders came from all these countries. Ben Bella had won his struggle. The struggle, the Algerian struggle of France. France had, after all the other Francophone countries had got their independence, Algeria was denied that independence by de Gaulle. Why? Because Algeria, he said, is part of France. Algeria, part of France. Algeria, part of France. Mediterranean Sea. Yes, he said, Algeria cannot choose as others chose to say yes or no. No choice was given it because it was regarded as part of France. That's why the Algerians took to arms. And that's why Ben Bella could come. And we sang glory to him. And of course, he regarded that the independence of Algeria was not complete until the independence of all the other countries, including South Africa, was also acquired, until those other countries were also free. And Ben Bella, we still remember what he said. He put aside his speech. He said, "Let us die a little for South Africa. Let us die a little for South Africa." And we used to call it in our camps the Die a Little Speech. A contribution made. So they are Nkrumah. Ghana is not free until the rest of Africa is free. That spirit and those principles, unity, dedication, commitment, sacrifice, the givenness, that struggle is our struggle, should remain with us. That suffering of people in Liberia is our suffering. We should have said that. The people dying because of Boko Haram in Nigeria, our people as well. And I tell you, we knew Nigeria as we knew our palms, because we used to go there. We used to have lots of cadres trained there in Kano. We used to go to Kaduna, lots of other places. And Nigeria gave in 1978, when they had not been paying their subscriptions because there was a difference in the OAU on the issue of Biafra, so they had decided not to pay subscriptions to the OAU. But then, when they decided to pay the subscription was now £7 million or dollars. But when they paid it back, they said it is not going just into the coffers of the OAU. It must be used for purposes of training, military training of Zimbabwean cadres. So Gomo and I and Brigadier Gaba used to go to the camp where, to the base where this group of our cadres was being trained. That is a contribution we made. I could give you other forms of contribution made. I will be, after this, talking about Hashim Bita, who headed the committee, Liberation Committee, established in Tanzania. And the Liberation Committee was meant to source arms for us. And all our Liberation Committees were there. From Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde, Cabral. We were all in Tanzania. So there it is. Africa, wanting the Africans who were still under the burden of colonialism to be free. And that is why I have great respect for all of us. To me, you come to my country, it's your country. I go to your country, it's also my country. You can't chase me. You can't chase me and I can't chase you. That's it, the African spirit. We had to fight for it also. You had to starve for it, to sacrifice for it. And now you get some people still saying, because we are white and you are black, we can't give you the honor of equality in the Security Council. Nonsense. That should stop. Mr. Bakimun, just tell them for the last time, just as a message that you have heard for the last time from here, that there should be real equality in the Security Council. We can't just be coming to the General Assembly to make empty, hollow speeches and go back home. Nobody takes care of all the concerns we express. No. And anyway, the headquarters is actually of the United Nations is misplaced. Where do you have most of the people? You have 1.2 million people, billion, I mean 1.2 million people in India, 1.3 in China, and Africa, we are getting to nearly a billion also. Now put us together, just these three. And then put those with the white faces and pink noses. Put them together as against us. How many are they, even man to a man? And do we allow that group should continue to harass us even in our independent countries? Regime change, Mugabe should not be there, we want someone else. The Creator was telling me the other day that he had been told that, oh no, your party, Chama Chama Pinduzi, had been in power for too long. You must now allow another party also to take over. Is that democracy? And that was coming from Europe. Tell them to shut their mouths. Ladies and gentlemen, comrades and friends, I am about to hand over the collective stewardship of this august body. I would like to take this opportunity to express my sincere gratitude to you, my colleagues, for the support you so generously rendered me and my country during our chairmanship of this continental body. I thank you immensely. I was very happy. I visited a number of countries. Sometimes just to attend inauguration ceremonies. Sometimes also to be present as I was in Mali at a signing ceremony. And where I was asked to come, as in Tanzania, the youth conference there, and in several others. I did travel quite a lot, and I enjoyed it very much to be with the people and to be with the young people. And our message, of course, is always that tomorrow, today is our day. Tomorrow, you, the young people, is your day also. And we, the fathers of today, we, the mothers of today, we men are also with you women. Together we must work for our children and groom them up. See they are healthy, see they are educated, see they have skills, and see they are ideologized. They know the history of their country. They are proud to be Africans. So let's bring our youth up. So it was really an honor to guide the work of our organization in the past year and make our own humble contribution towards building the Africa we want. In conclusion, I would like to reaffirm my unwavering support and that of my government to the incoming person, to my brother of Chad. I am confident that the assembly will lend the incoming chair his full support. So the president of Chad, we wish you well. We wish you well, and whatever support you would want from me, I will still be there. I'll still be there until God says, come. Then I'll go and join the others. But as long as I'm still alive, I'll still have the punch. So I want to thank you, and thank you a lot. I want also to thank the commission, Mai Zuma, and your commission and commissioners for all the support that they gave me and our togetherness as we looked forward together and we tried to put things together. So I say forward ever, backwards never. Asante sana. Merci beaucoup. Muchas gracias. Tatenda siyabonga. Thank you.